Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have two guests in studio with me. Deborah Clifton is a former actress and actor and used to be with Theater X. She is joining us along with Jackie Lydon, who is an author and the Wisconsin State Chair for Writers for Democratic Action. And Jackie's also on the National Steering Committee. Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Deborah, yeah, pull that up a little bit closer.
Yeah,
so Deborah walked into our studio last week. Was it last week? Two weeks ago?
Yeah.
And said, I thought you might be interested in talking about this. And when I really took a look at it, what you're doing is very, very ambitious and very interesting. Coming to the Waukesha Public Library on July 19th at 4 p.m., a free staged dramatic reading of It Can't Happen Here Again. So this is based on the Sinclair Lewis novel, It Can't Happen Here, from the 1930s, correct?
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
And it's a dystopian novel about what would happen if a fascist leader, much like Hitler, came to America and the ramifications this would have on our country, correct?
Well, of course, at the time that Sinclair Lewis, who was then on his way to becoming the only American who'd ever been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, he did fictionalize it, but there was no fiction in the fact that Hitler was amassing power in Europe and that their reaction to that in the United States was quite complacent at the time. So it was seen as a warning as to what exactly could happen here. And there were other things that, of course, correspond to today as well, like the rise of right-wing media in that time as Father Coughlin, who was exciting people against immigrants and against a lot of the freedoms that we enshrine. So there were really uncanny parallels to what's going on today.
So the demonization of immigrants goes back decades.
Oh, it goes back to the 19th century. It goes back to the
18th century.
Yeah,
you know, anybody who came in had to pass a test, whether they could survive or not.
There was a ban against the Chinese immigration for decades after they had been working on the U.S. railroads.
For all those years.
The Irish had a long time, and of course, we have seen that historically with the black population. So that isn't new, but the spread of misinformation and the taking away of freedoms that protect equality is what's at stake.
Well, when we look at what the Supreme Court has just done over the last week, with essentially giving almost complete immunity to past and future presidents, the overturning of the Chevron doctrine, which is going to, again, take expertise out of scientific decisions and give that power to judges, which what could possibly go wrong there? this is concerning. It should be a big concern.
I spent lot of time as an NPR reporter. I was with NPR for 35 years, and I was a Middle East correspondent. And many of the things that we see happening here today, like the pushing of a theocratic regime, that is what Iran is. And to see that those things would have any correspondence here, or that people like Viktor Orban in Hungary would, you know, that the conservative CPAC would meet there.
Yeah.
It does puzzle me, because I don't know if most Americans are aware of what it means to take away expertise, to take away protections of equality, to centralize. Now, this is historic, giving the president these powers of immunity. I mean, that upends 1776.
Right. And we have also just encountered blockages of trying to vote. Our voting freedoms for the last election, two elections ago, in Milwaukee, they had closed voting places, so it would take one voting place. It would take 3 hours of standing there. And at that time, Governor Walker said no one was allowed to get drinks of water.
Right.
So it's brutal.
And they want to make you work for it. They want to make it hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And try people's patience. And again, as you said, close down a whole bunch of polling places, especially in the state's largest municipal area. And just hope that people give up when you've been standing in line for 3.5 hours.
In that horrible city.
Yes. Yes.
Horrible. Yes. I love Milwaukee, and I will defend it until the death. Anyway, though I do live in Waukesha now.
Well, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. So tell me what is going to happen at this free stage dramatic reading of It Can't Happen Here Again, coming up at the Waukesha Public Library on July 19th.
Well, we have a script that's been rewritten from the original play, which is kind of an agitprop thing that Sinclair Lewis had presented in 1936, right before the election that elected Roosevelt, that started the New Deal. In fact, this was a landslide for Roosevelt, and who, in part because of this play, and in part because of the national, it wasn't a CCC program, it was a...
It was beginning in the WPA.
The WPA. So all these actors, writers, directors, anyone who worked in theater were hired by the U.S. government, part of the CCC things, the WPA. And they would do free performances everywhere. Besides Sinclair Lewis, who was on the...
Well, there was, of course, Dorothy Parker. There were other Liebling. There were other playwrights, but this became the first political one that was nationwide. They performed it in over 17 states just before the 1936 election. 21 different stages. We, I'm proud to say, have tripled that. I think we're up to 60.
Wow.
Now, anybody can do this. This is Each One Teach One. We on Writers for Democratic Action's website, writersfordemocraticaction.org. If you go to events, you will see what we are doing. You can download the script. It's meant to be 30 pages long for five people. Deborah and I will be performing at the Waukesha Public Library on July 19th. But there are before we get off the air, there are other four other performances in Milwaukee. There's also one in Sturgeon Bay.
Great.
At Novel Bay Bookstore. So anyone is welcome to do this. And you can contact me if you'd like, or Deborah. You are Deborah.Clifton.
Yes. DeborahCliff@gmail.com.
That's right. And I'm Jackie, J-A-C-K-I dot Lyden, L-Y-D-E-N, at gmail.com. Or you can just go to writersfordemocraticaction.org.
We'll put a link in to that website in our show notes.
Great.
It takes about an hour after the show is over for Greg to get those posted and include those links. So if you would like to learn more about performing this in your own community, this is what you're talking about, Jackie, right?
Absolutely.
And what is it that is so impactful about this piece?
Well, I think it was adapted by a Milwaukee native, Wes Savick, who's from Shorewood and who directed at Theater X with Deborah and her husband, John Kishlow.
Yeah, he and I had co-written a play at one point. So Wes was in Theater X for about 3 years. And a very, very smart guy, and now he's teaching out east at a university.
And he's coming back, and the kickoff performance will be Thursday night, July the 18th at Anodyne Coffee Roasters on Bruce Street in Walker's Point.
Great.
That's July 18th, the last night. So it's timed to the end of the Republican National Convention. So the question was, what are we doing exactly?
Well, and when people come to see this, what can they expect to see?
They'll see five people with scripts, and we will be reading different characters. It's kind of rhythmic. It's one of the characters is Dorothy Parker. One of the characters is Margaret Atwood. Who else do we have?
By the way, is the author of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Yes.
Another character is Dorothy Thompson, who is Sinclair Lewis's wife, and she interviewed Hitler. And at the time, she thought him, you know, inconsequential.
He's a clown. He's a clown, right?
Right. But then she also said the enemy of what will enable this guy, I'm paraphrasing, is complacency. And I think that's what we're trying to target here. So what people will see is people standing up. So player one, it can't happen here. A statement, a declarative statement, an ironic statement. And then players begin to make the correspondence. In 1936, the tide of authoritarian dictatorship was flowing. Player one, in 2024, the tide of authoritarian dictatorship is flowing. Player three, in 1936, Adolf Hitler's stormtroopers reoccupied the Rhineland. A signal of a forbidden German rearmament went unopposed. Player two, in 2024, Vladimir Putin began the third year of his full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and so on. But it's also fun. There are funny moments. We hear from Father Coughlin. We hear from someone who plays Tucker Carlson. We are not mentioning nearly any politician by name. I think there is one vice president named in here.
But essentially, this is explaining the potential of a fascist leader in America.
Yes, exactly. Lewis's play was named Winfried Jessup. And so he is a charlatan who is running for president. He is accruing, you know, populist power and telling a lot of lies. And the correspondence between what he was saying and what the far right was promising at that time, you know, that's what Sinclair Lewis is mocking. Today, we don't really even need, you know, Jamie Raskin comes in here. Today, we don't even really need someone else's Toni Morrison, someone else's Joe McCarthy. So it skips around in history. But what the point it's making, Jane, is that we don't need to look at fiction right now. You know, we can take things right out of the news. We can take the Supreme Court decision of this week. Deborah mentioned the Chevron decision. We could talk about the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade. And we don't necessarily mention all these things on the stage. It's meant to make the viewer think and participate. And afterwards, we're going to have a reading of the Declaration of Independence together.
Wonderful. We got a break coming up. We're going to continue this conversation. Deborah Clifton is one of our guests, former actress with Theater X. Jackie Lydon, author and Wisconsin state chair for Writers for Democratic Action. She's also on the National Steering Committee. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. My guests, Deborah Clifton, a former actress with Theater X, Jackie Lydon, Wisconsin native author, also the Wisconsin State Chair for Writers for Democratic Action, and she is on the National Steering Committee as well. They're here to talk about a free stage dramatic reading of the Sinclair Lewis novel, It Can't Happen Here Again. That will happen July 19th. At the Waukesha Public Library at 4 p.m. And Jackie, you had said, too, there are a number of performances that are going to be happening in Milwaukee.
Yes, I'll just whip through them quickly. July 18th, Anodyne Coffee Roasters at 6 o'clock. July 19th, 1 o'clock at Garden Park Theater, which is on Locust Street near the Woodfield Pattern Book Center. Also that day at 4 o'clock is going to be
Waukesha Public Library.
Waukesha Public Library. And then that evening, two performances, one at Sugar Maple at Bayview at 8 and one at ZAO Church at 7. So, yeah.
Wonderful. We will get the link to this website if you want to check out any of these events and where they're happening. As well, I think it's important to reiterate that if you would like to perform this in your own community, you can absolutely do that.
Can I say just one thing really important? We have so much talent in this area because of actors like Deborah and her husband, John Kishlein. This was organized by our mutual friend, Jim Pickering, who is dean of the Milwaukee Actors.
Yes.
50-odd years with Milwaukee Rep. So we have over a dozen actors doing these things for free in these venues. Of course, everyone's welcome to do them anywhere, but I'm proud that we have
absolutely
professional talent.
Absolutely. Big names in the Milwaukee theater community. Absolutely.
And it's wonderful that it's just an extension of what the WPA started.
It is.
When actors were out of work. And, you know, actors are not really well employed anymore. It's been
challenging.
challenging of the demise of the National Endowment for the Arts because someone like Jesse Helms many years ago decided to pick on it, where we had to sign an agreement that we would, to get a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, we would have to promise not to do any homoerotic literature.
Remember that? The Robert Mapplethorpe stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a legacy.
And it's a challenge. It's an ongoing challenge. Because actors have always gotten so rich. Yeah. That's a fallacy.
Some.
Deborah, we've talked about this a little bit before you joined us on the air. And you and your husband, John Kishline, used to live in Whitefish Bay, and you have since moved out to Waukesha.
Right. We've lived in Milwaukee, worked in Milwaukee Theater X until 20. Theater X existed until 20-something. I was there. I can't remember.
That's
anyway,
all right.
And we have been active in, we've worked at the Rep, the Chamber Theater, Next Act, many of the Milwaukee theaters. My husband and I have also worked frequently in Chicago. But now we are in Waukesha, where I grew up in my childhood home. My grandmother owned it, and then my mother took over.
Lovely.
Yes, both my grandmother and my mother were under 5 feet tall, and my husband and son are over 6 feet. The house shrunk. Anyway, so here we are in Waukesha, and we've had an interesting time. We have neighbors who are both kind of a mixed marriage. One is Republican, one is very Democrat. Their children are also separated that way. So conversations are good. Most of my neighbors, we can find common ground, but not necessarily the same candidate.
Interesting.
It is. We all think that corporate greed has overtaken the U.S., but what to do about it? They don't think the Democrats can handle it. I don't think the Republicans will do anything about it.
That's who pays their sin. Well, I mean, that's who buys the just. Wait, let me phrase that. Yeah, that came out wrong. I do find it interesting, and I mentioned this to you as well when we were not on the air. We go to the Waukesha Farmers Market every Saturday, and I try to go down there at least once a month. It's a lovely event, and it's just interesting to see because every time I have gone down there, there are 1 to 3 women usually who will sidle up to the table and whisper, "I really like your station. Thank God you're here.
Thank God you're here."
It's like they're confessing.
Well,
and they don't want necessarily anyone else to know.
It's interesting because my husband and I have canvassed a couple of neighborhoods this election cycle and the last election cycle. And every one of our people that we go to see, they're all given to us by the Democratic Party, so we know that they're Democrats. They don't believe that there's anyone else around them that thinks like them.
They think they're an island.
And they're not. There are a lot of people in Waukesha proper. I don't know about Waukesha County, but you would
speak to that.
I'm
in Waukesha County, and I think it's the same.
Everything.
Well, and as you said too, Deborah, it's about, we agree on far more things, I think, than the people who would like to see us divided. Mm-hmm. We want good educations for our children. We want clean water to drink and to kayak in and canoe in. We want childcare that is adequate and fair, not just for families, but for the childcare workers. We all agree that corporate greed is out of control. And most of us now agree that the Supreme Court has been bought off.
Right.
Yes, I would say so. So I'm in Delafield, and it's funny. I was listening to what Deborah was saying. I'm in my childhood home too, after many, many years out on Lake Nagawicca. So you know, it goes around, comes around after living out east in other places. And it's interesting to see in Delafield the community, in particular, you know, Democrats are there. It's mixed, and people that might vote one thing below the top of the ticket,
yep,
and something else.
Well, that's how we ended up with Governor Evers getting reelected and Ron Johnson getting elected.
Yes.
That's why we're a purple state.
During the last election cycle with Trump and Biden the last time, somehow we got the Waukesha Freeman delivered to our house. I was grateful for that one, only because it reported that Waukesha County, I believe, had no vote, 6,000 votes that did not vote for president. They voted down ballot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
And that's not the answer.
No.
That isn't the answer. Everybody must go out and vote. in August for the August 13th primary. There are two really, really important constitutional amendments that you should vote no.
Because they're so confusing.
They're so, well, and intentionally so.
Yes.
And will yet consolidate more of the power of the purse over to the Republican-held legislature, where they just love to sit on money, apparently, because they never distribute it back to the people. And it's also critically important that people vote in November. I understand people are despairing. I understand people are discouraged. That's not the answer. The answer is to do things like this.
Absolutely.
Perform this play. Take this to your community. Volunteer to be a poll worker. Volunteer to write postcards. Don't sit back and say there's nothing we can do. That's not true. We can do this. We can absolutely do this. I encourage you to go see It Can't Happen Here again. The one in Waukesha, July 19th, 4 p.m. at the Waukesha Public Library. Other performances going on in Milwaukee and around the state. We'll get the link in to your website in our show notes. Ladies, thank you so much. Deborah Clifton and Jackie Lydon, thank you for joining us today on Matt and Air on Air.
Thank you. Terrific. Thank you.
News is coming up next when we return. Public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you want to catch baseball tonight, Brewers at the Dodgers, kind of a late one, 8:35 as they're out on the left coast. You can listen to the game live on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, or 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Brewers at the Dodgers tonight at 8:35. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. We are playing Where in the World is Dr. Hanks today? Is she an OR? Is she home with pink eye? Where is she? Where is she now? Good morning, Dr. Hanks. Where are you?
Good morning. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin today.
At home in Madison.
Or I'm at my clinic, I should say. Not at my house.
So still working. Yeah. She's always working.
Still working.
Always doctoring.
Seeing patients this morning. And
Kids are fine. You're fine.
For once.
No breakouts in your house that we need to be updated on?
No, I got a really cute GI bug last week, so got to lose a couple pounds, you know, for hot girl summer or whatever the kids are calling it.
Is that what I need? No. I need a good GI infection to my goal weight.
I've always wanted a tapeworm.
No, we don't want that. This is an interesting article and something I had never even considered, Dr. Hanks. And this is an article from a WPR from Colleen Leahy, and the headline says, "Fathers suffer from postpartum depression too." I would never have thought that was a thing.
You know, my first reaction when I saw the title of it was just like, I got to admit, it was a little bit of an eye roll. I was just thinking of Greg being like, oh, it's all about the men.
Of course, it's all about me.
You always make it. You make it so silly, Greg.
But, I'm a silly, silly man.
But then when I read it, I did find it very interesting. And I think that just in general, anything that's shining light on mental health in this country is an important read and it's important to think about. Yes, men aren't going through labor and delivery and carrying a pregnancy. You know, that was like my first thing is like, oh, poor you, you know. But I don't think that's the right reaction to have. I think that it's, you know, like I said, bringing awareness to mental health, and that having a baby, whether it's your first baby or your sixth baby, that changes the family dynamics, and that's going to change how you go about your day-to-day life. And it is important for both parents, whether that be mom, dad, or whoever is parenting that child and in the house with a child, to have good mental health, because we know that that's, you know, you're portraying that behavior to not only the child, but also if you're not able to function because of your mental health, then you can't take care of a newborn baby. So I thought it was really good and an important thing to talk about.
Definitely. A University of Wisconsin-Madison social work professor, Tova Walsh, says she's glad people are paying more attention to postpartum depression in mothers, but she just published research on paternal mental health and said anyone of any gender can struggle after having a new baby to the point where you can reach clinical depression. This is a major life change, right, Dr. Hanks?
Absolutely. I mean, and you're tired, you're not sleeping when the baby first comes home. And so that we know that people that have a history of mental health disorders, this is going to make it worse. That's why we see increased postpartum depression with our patients that have a history of depression and anxiety. So I usually talk to them about that in pregnancy, but I think it's important to, and I usually tell them, like, are you talking with your partner? But, you know, I think it's also that the partner's talking to them and kind of saying where they're at. And, you know, parenting is hard and scary. And, you know, I think that having that open communication is really good. Something else that this made me think of, I had a patient a couple years ago who it was her fourth baby, and she was asking me about a doula. And we haven't talked much about doulas. I don't know if you guys ever did with Dr. Lyerly, but
I don't think so. No.
Okay. A doula is someone who's not like a medically trained professional, but they have experience with giving support during the birthing process. I've had, just like anything else, any other job, I've had good and bad experience with doulas, but I think they can be, there are studies that show that it can be really helpful in the birthing process for a lot of birthing people. So at any rate, long story long, I had a patient, it was her fourth baby, but it was first with her new partner. And she was like, I'm totally fine with this, but he's freaking out. So I'm wondering about getting a doula for him.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was like great foresight, because she was like, I'm going to be like dealing with my stuff and I'm not going to have time to talk him off a ledge. So I need the doula to tell it. I was like, that is so interesting and insightful that I hadn't really thought about. So I think, you know, knowing that a partner might want to be involved in not only birth and obviously, you know, post-birth, but figuring out those different ways in these systems that we already have built into our society that can help them be more involved, you know?
We're talking about men suffering from postpartum depression. According to a new study, men experiencing postpartum depression tend to show avoidant behaviors like isolating themselves, spending less time with their families. They might start drinking more or throwing themselves more into work or hobbies. And men also might show fewer open signs of sadness.
Yes.
Because that's an embarrassing thing.
We're not a group of people who are encouraged or brought up to show their emotions. And that is, you know, I'm just going to say it's a failure. It's a failure from society. And we're just coming out of men's mental health awareness month. And it's true. Even the most open people, like I consider myself a very open person. I consider myself, I can talk about my feelings. Do I talk about my feelings? No. For various reasons, it's all mixed in, and it's hard to even broach a topic because you want to say, how do I talk about this? And people will just say, just talk about it. It's like, do you understand how difficult that is? I mean, yeah. And I don't mean to bring up, this is not joking either, but like there is a strong sense of one, being a man, being a Midwesterner, being of a certain age, being living in a world where there's so much strife and tragedy happening, you feel like, well, I'm feeling sad today, but who cares? The Supreme Court just like changed the entire doctrine of our country. Why should I say anything? Just keep your head down, work, and hopefully you don't harm yourself. Yeah. That's
and it And I think we're at a very interesting point generationally. Like, we kind of grew up with these very like binary gender roles, and exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying, Greg, of like, you're a man, you suck it up and you deal with it. Like, you don't talk about your feelings. And females, like, okay, you can cry some, but then you like go take care of the baby. And I think it'll be very interesting and to see kind of over the next couple of years. I think that we're much more blending generals. And even like in my own household, when I was we decided to have a baby, but I was in residency and I'm the primary breadwinner in our house. And so we decided my husband would stay home. And that was really hard for him. He's like, I hate to say this, I'm a feminist, but like, there's like a little part of me, because of how I grew up and being the man, like that I'm not the breadwinner. And yeah. I have to ask you for money. And that was like a really hard thing for us to, we had a very open communication. I was like, I get it. I respect it. I don't want to, but I get where you're coming from. Cause I grew up in that same, you know, like I watched my dad work and my mom stay at home. And so whether they were just, you know, showing that behavior, but they always encouraged me to like, go, you can tackle the world as a woman, you know, right. And like that, we're kind of the first generation to start really doing that, I think. And so it'll be interesting, you know, the next couple of years, kind of how I'm hoping that there will be more, not only talk around mental health, but just like for people that identify as men to feel okay, like showing emotion, showing feelings, like talking and being more open about that.
I would hope that we would get there. Unfortunately, now I think there's a whole bunch of people on the far right, the incels, the people who follow Andrew Tate, the ones who
are all over my Instagram,
the ones who want to put sunshine on their testicles like Tucker Carlson, because I don't know what that does for you, but go ahead.
No one needs to be talking about Tucker Carlson's testicles.
You can just stop it. No one needs to be talking about Tucker Carlson, but you know, hey, you live your life. You know, that's something that the binary issue, and I don't want, and this isn't a discussion for me about non-binary versus binary as far as like how you identify, but it's those binary places where it feels like if you want to be a true man, you have to accept your feelings and feel your feelings and talk about your feelings. You don't want to be toxic masculinity. But right. The problem is that those aren't just so simple. It's not black and white. It's nuanced. And there, you know, there's a part of me that wants to mow the lawn. I feel like it's my job as a guy to mow the lawn because my dad mowed the lawn. Can my wife do it? Absolutely. She's capable and she wants to. But that's that thing of, you know, my wife is the primary breadwinner in the family. My wife makes more money than I do. And I have no problem. I'm not threatened by powerful, smart, capable women. But what I'm left with is this feeling of, I don't feel like a equal contributing partner in the relationship. If she has to buy something that I can't, I feel like, well, here we go. And she never holds it against me.
Right. But it's coming from you and your own conditioning.
Exactly. It's that thing of just, and my parents weren't like, be a man. My father hugged me, kissed me, let me cry, told me he was proud of me, told me he loved me. But I still feel these feelings of binary status of man in this world and how we're supposed to feel and how we're supposed to act. I mean, it bothers me how much I love working in my garage. And I'm not even kidding you. Like, my garage looks like a manly man wood shop now. And I'm like, but this, is this me? It's brings up a lot of feelings. I feel a lot of feelings, Jane. And I feel a lot of feelings, Dr. Hanks.
Well, and to your credit, Greg, I do want to point this out, and you have shared this openly. You have sought out therapy.
I have.
You have had therapy.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid to talk about it and talk about the importance of it.
Yes.
And that's why I think, too, just talking about this, men can experience postpartum depression. You're not crazy.
Yeah.
This is, mm-hmm. you know, if you are feeling these feelings, find someone to talk about with to help you sort out these feelings. And yeah. it doesn't have 100%. To be someone in your circle. It doesn't have to be a friend. There are professionals who can handle this, where you can go to a place where you're feeling you're not going to be getting judged.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say, if you're going to talk to a friend or a loved one about this, talk to them with the intention of going to therapy when you want to. See if you, I mean, I'm sure if you are a person in this world, you can take 10 people in your life. One of them has gone to therapy. About having someone support you in your journey to seek, because I do think that there is something far greater in speaking to someone who is objective. You pay them, so you have to get something out of this, and they have no skin in the game. They're not
right.
They got to be team you, but they also got to call you out in your BS. And a lot of times friends don't do that all the time because they feel bad. They might be in a position of like, I don't know what to, I'll break up with him. I have no idea.
Right, right.
So yeah. I think therapy is good for, I think everyone should be talking to an objective party on a regular basis.
I tell my patients that all the time. I like, that's one of my ways to kind of take the stigma away. I'm like, everyone should see a therapist. I think, you know, I think that, and to your point, Greg, too, like, a third party that's not involved in you. Cause like you said, a friend is like, well, if they don't break up, then I'm the jerk that told them to break up, you know, like, whereas a therapist has no skin in the game as far as like, if you like them or not, or, you know, so I think it is important to have a good support network. But also, it's not instead of, it's but also a therapist as well.
You know? She joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12 for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. When we return, different ways you can hurt yourself over the summer and what to do if you get a fish hook in your foot.
Oh, we're having a contest?
Yes,
all right.
That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. If you ever have a question for Dr. Laura Hanks, please email it in. You can send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We're happy to talk about it the following week. Here to answer your questions. Doesn't always have to be OBGYN related, Dr. Hanks. She's a doctor. She knows what she's doing. I don't know if I would ask you to do brain surgery, you know, tomorrow. But Dr. Hanks is a wonderful, wonderful doctor.
Perfect question for the doctor. We were talking about this before about, you know, being associated with different people from different backgrounds of life. MIT adjacent, lawyer adjacent. I know you. I know Dr. Lyerly. My brother-in-law is a neurological oncologist. So all those three together basically make me a doctor, right? I'm a doctor, basically, yeah.
Oh. I think you're muted.
You're muted, Dr. Lyerly.
Or Dr. Hanks.
Dr. Hanks. Oops.
Oh, it was
Am
Calvin.
I still muted?
There we go. Now you're back.
There we go.
Now you're back.
I'm back. Yeah, you're basically a doctor. Just like throw a couple hundred thousand like in the lake and
don't got that kind of money. That was your problem, suckers.
We're gonna talk about just gentlemen. 4th of July is tomorrow, and a lot of people heading out on long weekends. And I just wanted to have some reminders for folks about some general first aid things because unfortunately, and I hate to be a downer, but people drown. And there are still people who don't know how to swim. Greg.
I'm not laughing. It was a funny phrase.
But like, I mean, there are boating accidents.
Yeah.
People get hit by propellers. People get drunk and fall off boats. And so let's start with a water emergency, Dr. Hanks.
Water safety.
Water safety.
So first, as like, we'll do like a funny side story. So I was in the Peace Corps in the South Pacific. And I kind of won the lottery. I got to go to the South Pacific, right? But we actually had a water safety day as part of our training. And literally was going snorkeling so they could show us all the dangerous fish. So we didn't die. And also like float with the current if you get in a river. And I was just like, this is awesome. But no, in all seriousness, I think, you know, accidents can happen. And I think that it's really important, you know, especially if alcohol is involved, having someone sober that's driving your boat, because there's going to be a lot of people in the water.
Yep.
So being aware of that. Now, I think you brought up a good point, too, that some people don't know how to swim, and that's fine. But if you are someone that doesn't know how to swim and you see someone that looks like they're struggling, please don't go in after them, because you're going to make a bad situation worse. You know, if you don't feel confident in your swimming abilities, try to find someone else around. Try to find a floating device that you could maybe throw to them instead. But, you know, trying to be the hero, if you're not able to keep your head above water, you're just going to create two victims. So yeah. I think being aware of your own abilities, or if you've been drinking, you know, don't go in and try to help somebody, because it's just going to create more problems. As to like, you know, other things, of course, like we talked about with the heat wave a couple of weeks ago, your sunscreen, hydration, getting out of the sun, getting in the shade, especially if you have young kids, making sure you're putting on sunscreen like every hour if you can, you know, wrestle them into it.
Yeah. You got to pin them down. They get slippery. Yeah. They get slippery when they're covered with with a sunscreen.
You sound like you tried.
We don't have time.
Yeah, right. So I think all of those things are really, really important too.
I think something too, you know, there is nothing. I just went to DC recently and I saw the original documents of the country, and nowhere in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or Declaration of Independence does it say you have to get wasted on July 4th either. But if you're drinking, have a cocktail, have a drink, have some water, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Don't keep going, but like, make sure you stay hydrated. It'll help stave off that hangover. And also just, there's no reason to get wasted.
Well, and as Dr. Hanks said too, you know, you've had a couple of drinks and you're feeling like a hero.
Yeah.
You need to be really, really careful, mm-hmm. because I mm-hmm. think we all tend to overestimate our abilities when we've had a couple.
Yeah.
I know I become considerably more attractive. Just throwing that out.
I've texted lots of people who don't want to hear from me.
But, you know, like you said, Dr. Hanks, you had a couple of drinks. If you are not that strong of a swimmer, don't make you the one who's going to make this rescue.
Yeah.
If you are on an ATV and you had a couple of drinks, maybe you should go along as a passenger.
Mm.
If you don't know how to swim and you're going to be on a boat, that's what life jackets are for. Don't exactly. be embarrassed. I'm sorry if it's not going to ruin your tan a little bit. You can even it out later.
Yeah. And then you can float in the water and have your drink, and then you don't have to worry.
I love this. Options. Options, yeah. Doctor.
Options, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, too, if worst case scenario, there's an ATV accident, something like that, you want to call for help, right, Dr. Hanks? Yep. This isn't something you're going to diagnose out in the field, and you certainly don't want to move someone who might have a head injury. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you think there's any risk of head injury, we do lots of training to like stabilize neck injuries and things like that. So please don't touch them. Call 911. You know, you can make sure they're breathing. If you do have, you know, if you're someone that has CPR training, at the very least you can do, go through those steps. But if you don't, just wait for the professionals, and hopefully you're, you know, near enough by. I think if you're going to remote places, I know a lot of people go up north, you can kind of look and see where the closest ER is. And if you want to make sure that you're nearby. Also, please don't drink and set off fireworks.
I bet you see lots of those in the emergency department.
Yeah, it's just not pretty.
No, and and ambulance rides are paid out of pocket, so just keep that in mind as well. That can get real pricey. Yeah. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. Thank you so much, Dr. Laura. You're going to be with us next week?
Yes, I will be with you guys next week, and then I'll be heading to Italy after that.
So nice.
Whatever.
I have a date with Taylor Swift.
Great. Oh, that's great.
I want video.
News is coming up next. Thank you, Calvin and Greg, and our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all to you for calling and texting and listening. It means absolutely everything. Have a wonderful and safe 4th of July. And I hope you find some joy over the next couple of days and you have the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.